In the studio, we have Mr. Misele Owalia. Morning, Chief. How are you?
Morning, Andrew.
How are you doing today?
Good, fine, thanks.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I guess the overview of the year, it coming to an end, would be, you know, a start, so to speak. What do we have for today in terms of 2017? Budget-wise.
Okay. We're basically just here today as PMRC to just help digest what's been happening with 2017 with regards to the national budget, but also to get into some expectations for 2018. As you know, at the month end, the 2018 budget will be released, and we do have some expectations. Of course, last week we also had a green paper released by Ministry of Finance, which is basically a medium-term expenditure framework, which also guides us for the next 3 years in terms of expenditure. So we'll be also looking into that, and that will be basically what we'll try to discuss in today's program.
Nice one. I guess it's all about government and its partners. Do you think the government has managed to stick to its focus on restoring fiscal prudence? Is it managing to have a growth pattern that you agree with as PMRC?
Okay, great. I'll start by giving, of course, some recaps for us to be able to understand whether the government has actually managed to stick to its intended plan.
Right.
Coming from the back of 2016, we had quite a bit of a difficult year. Growth slowed down. Of course, we had issues in the electricity sector. We had issues in the agriculture sector. Of course, the impact of climate there. Electricity issues, like I earlier mentioned. Inflation also was quite high coming off 2016. So 2017, coming into the year 2017, needed sort of strategies to sort of rationalize the economy and sort of bring it back to the state of growth.
Right.
So for 2017, the budget basically was targeted at 64.5 billion kwacha, which was about 27% of GDP. Other issues, of course, that were notable were the allocation of 2.9 billion towards the farmer input support program, which in previous years has been a bit problematic. And basically, this was done to move the system off its manual implementation to an electronic implementation, which, of course, is the e-voucher system that we have been following up as PMRC. Other highlights, of course, in 2017 was the allocation of 1 billion towards infrastructure projects that is within the education sector. So infrastructure projects such as universities, colleges, trades and training institutions. And an important sector, of course, was also social protection. For 2017, the allocation towards this sector had increased by 85%, and this had moved to 2.7 billion. Of course, this was meant to cushion the vulnerable. And within this, we find the social cash transfer scheme, and we also find payments towards pension benefits with this. So that was basically the highlight. But looking at where we started from for 2017 as a year, given the statistics, we came into 2017 looking at inflation, which was close to about 20%. The exchange rate was slightly destabilized. So looking at those, growth also at the beginning of 2017 was projected to be out just around 3%, just slightly above 3%. 9 months down the line, we look at where we are now as a country. Inflation currently reduced to 6%. We're looking at growth projections that have now been revised from 3% to about 4.3%, which shows positive moves in the economy. We also look at the ratings by international agencies have upgraded from negative to positive, stable, which basically give an indication of where we are. Of course, challenges still remain. Some of those have been the government arrears. We're looking at government debt, both external and domestic. Those have been on the high side. And 2017 has brought in some strategies to try to dismantle and rationalize those debts and arrears. And I think that is an ongoing process that we need to look forward to. For 2017 already, about 4.3 billion kwacha was already released towards dismantling this government arrears. Of course, this is money that are owed.
Domestic debt.
Yeah, and domestic debt and arrears.
It seems to be heading in the right direction, so to speak, from what you're saying.
Yeah. Basically, but of course, there's still some, I think, spaces for improvement that we need to work on, really. And I'll get into that when we get to discuss some of our expectations for 2018.
Right. One of the things government pledged, like we said, was domestic debt. You talked about 4.3
billion. That was just government arrears, not debt.
Mm-hmm.
basically the difference with domestic debt are money that is accrued through borrowing. But then we also had the issue of arrears. These are contracts that were not paid. You have companies that supply services to government. For example, you have Zamtel providing telecommunications.
Right.
You have Zesco providing electricity. So those also were bulking up. And of course, you understand that some of these are local players. And right. once that money is held up in arrears,
right.
they then have challenges reinvesting. They'll then have challenges meeting their statutory commitments, such as paying taxes and remitting those taxes. So that has been an issue, and that is something that we've been looking forward to. Strategies were put in place to try to rationalize these arrears. Like I said, the 4.3 being mm-hmm. paid out. But we expect to see that over time, because part of the objectives for 2017 were to reduce significantly the deficit, of course, and the arrears when it comes to the debt situation.
Right. Last week, Secretary to the Treasury, Fred Sonyamba, issued a green paper.
Yeah.
Give us some of the highlights of that as, you know, content, so to speak.
Okay.
What did it hold?
Okay. I'll basically just start by trying to explain what the green paper is for the benefit of our listeners.
Right.
Yeah. So every 3 years, the Ministry of Finance prepares what they refer to as a green paper, or maybe easier to understand, a medium-term expenditure framework, which basically guides the nation's expenditure. So we have projections. The one that was released last week runs from 2018 to 2020. So we have a three-year period. It gives a highlight and, you know, a guide on what exactly government intends to do with regards to expenditure. So this is over the next 3 years. It's got projections for how much we expect to spend as a country in 2018, how much we expect to spend 2019 and 2020, and also what areas government will focus on. So some of these highlights also was just to give targets for the three-year plan. Some of the targets, of course, are looking at to achieve a growth rate, that is GDP growth, of about 5%, to maintain single-digit inflation, where we currently are, to between 6 and 8%, and of course, the continued diversification of the agriculture, of the economy through agriculture, manufacturing, tourism, of course, and then in line with the 7th National Development Plan. Others are also to keep up domestic revenue at around 18% of GDP. Now, just to get into the planning for 2018 and with regards to the medium-term expenditure framework, one of the things that we expect to see as PMRC, and we're keenly following with regards to the green paper that was released, was basically how the financing will be done given the launch of the 7th National Development Plan. As you know, Andrew, we're getting into a new phase in terms of the development plans, and we're interested because the 7th National Development Plan, which is basically guiding Zambia's development agenda now, proposes a new way of financing. It's moving away from the previous system we had of where ministries are funded individually and they conduct their own activities individually. For now, a proposal has been made to look at financing these ministries and having them operate within clusters. So, of course, the 7th National Development Plan puts in place 5 clusters that we're interested in looking at.
Okay.
And, of course, these 5 clusters or pillars are known as economic diversification and job creation, poverty and vulnerability reduction, and then reducing developmental inequalities, looking at enhancing human development, and of course creating a conducive governance environment. So basically the proposal under the 7th National Development Plan is to put these ministries to work towards a goal. Rather right. than have them working towards their sector objectives, they have to work towards one goal. So ministries will be put together and they will be responsible for economic diversification and job creation. But it also proposes over the next 5 years a funding mechanism to allow for us to actually achieve these objectives. So some of those include that pillar one, which is economic diversification and job creation, should have 30% of the budget allocated towards those particular activities.
Okay.
Then of course poverty and vulnerability reduction, 20% should be allocated towards that. Then development inequalities, of course we know the gap between the rich and the poor, 20% also should be allocated towards those activities. And the final 15% should be allocated between human development and of course creating a conducive environment for diversifying the economy. So as an organization, what we will be following is whether or not the expenditure framework over these next few years will actually follow the lined plan of financing, right, the 7th National Development Plan. So this is an interesting area, and we'll be closely monitoring, of course, and we'll be encouraging the general public also to take an interest,
right,
in getting some,
right,
of these documents.
Of course.
Following up the medium-term expenditure framework, looking at what government has said, this will help the general citizenry also to be involved in governance. Ideally, these are set plans, and as the years go by, it will be interesting for the general citizenry, civil society, and various stakeholders to take an interest in these activities and look at how they're actually being implemented and are we sticking towards the plans that are set, that is the medium-term expenditure framework, mm-hmm, and most importantly, the 7th National Development Plan. That would be a great interest. So I'd actually encourage the general public to take an interest in picking up some of these documents, looking at them. These documents, of course, are available on various websites.
Right.
Our website, of course, PMRCZambia.com also has some of these materials that the general citizen should be involved and be interested in looking, right, at some of these documents.
The benefits are there. We are on the PMRC corner, a policy monitoring and research center. In the studio, we have Miselo Walia, who is a researcher. Welcome back. It is the PMRC corner. 25 minutes of edutainment according to the PMRC, which is the policy monitoring and research center in Kabulonga. In the studio today, we have Miselo Walia, who is a researcher with the firm. And we're talking budget 2017. Tell me, government seems determined to ensure more domestic resource mobilization and realigning spending. How best can this be done apart from what we've talked about? The amounts being put separately in each ministry and aligned and such.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. Coming to the issue of domestic revenue mobilization, I think this has really been a challenge for us as a country. Currently, our targets are around 18% of GDP in terms of domestic revenue mobilization. Compared to the other regions, we don't seem to be doing too well, because around our SADC region, the rest of the country is at around 21%. So there's still that 3% that we need, okay, to sort of move to
achieve. Which is not entirely bad. We're heading in the right direction.
Which is not entirely bad.
Yeah.
So there's a gap that really we need to look at addressing. And
right,
of course, strategies have been put in place.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are other strategies that come into play, because other things that affect low domestic revenue mobilization has just been basically tax compliance.
Okay.
You have individuals themselves, you and me,
right,
not declaring our income, not paying our taxes.
Sure.
So there is that. But of course, there are more technical strategies that have been put in place to try to improve this situation. Some of these include, and they've been put in the green paper, and as PMRC, we'll be trying to follow closely, because this is something that really we've been following up as an organization. We're interested really in trying to raise a domestic revenue mobilization, because once that revenue mobilization is improved, would then see a linkage between the debt situation and the deficits, because it means the government is able to raise more funds for spending, and that also reduces the appetite to borrow either externally or domestically from the market.
Without a doubt, yes.
Yeah, so one of those is basically trying to modernize the revenue tax collection. That is also using automated systems. You understand, with the cash collection process, we have a lot of issues where people are collecting cash, people are skeptical about paying cash. So it's a strategy to move towards trying to automate some of these systems. Some of them already, of course, are in play.
Cashless.
Yeah, moving towards a cashless society.
Right.
Some of these, of course, are on play. You have some financial institutions that are able to offer you payments through your mobile phone,
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm,
your bank account. You can,
yes,
do that. But there's improvement in that, trying to ensure that that is improved. So it's also easier, because the issue is also trying to get people to pay their taxes much easier. If I ask you,
so it's
here,
about
Andrew,
yeah, educating our citizenry on the benefits of,
or them on the benefits of, but also trying to make it easier. Imagine, Andrew, you're working here and you're expected to pay your taxes manually.
I see what
it
you
means
mean.
You need to leave your workplace.
Right.
You need to move to the revenue authority.
Mm-hmm.
You'd spend the whole day there. That's,
yes,
productivity that is being lost. And
right,
so sometimes that might act as a deterrent. People,
true,
might simply not be interested in going through
because
that
of
long
the timing.
Process or because of the timing.
Mm-hmm.
But having that system automated will also help. The other issue that we've been looking at is the rationalization of tax incentives. Tax incentives, of course, are issues that, as an organization, we've been following with keen interest. Of course, we understand that these are given broadly across other sectors, and more importantly, to attract foreign investment. So one of the issues that has been there is, of course, when investors come in, They're given tax breaks of about 5-year periods. Other taxes, tax incentives will come in. They may be allowing to bring in equipment that is maybe given a tax at a discount rate.
Right.
And those are the issues. We've conducted some studies, and our studies have shown us that really tax incentives are important, but they are not key in attracting foreign direct investment.
What about local investment?
Local investment, again, that's another issue that we've been following up.
The direction we ought to be taking,
yeah,
encouraging local.
Local, yes, yeah. Just to get into that issue, because our tax incentive study actually followed up foreign direct investment and also local investment, and what we found was most of the incentives that are provided with regards to taxes,
yes,
all go to foreign direct investment. So right. You find that our local investors do not benefit from the tax exemptions, but also the more tax incentives that are being issued out. Means you're eroding the tax base. It means you're basically reducing on the amount of taxes that you're able to collect as a government in a bid to actually invite investment
right.
into the country. And our study and other studies have also confirmed that there are so many other issues that investors consider before they even come to the issue of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues they'll be following, of course, is stability of the economy,
right.
the governance, predictability of policies. Mm-hmm. Those will be key in the decision making.
Accessibility to resources.
Accessibility
locally.
To resources,
right.
human resource,
right.
financial
right.
resource.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the issues. And we hope to see that in 2018 mm-hmm. and over the next 3 years,
right.
government rationalizes some of these incentives, removing the unnecessary ones and trying to stop the eroding of that tax base. So it's something that we'll be following up, and I hope I can come back again and discuss some of these issues.
Without a doubt.
The other one, just as I get into it, the other issue also with regards to trying to improve domestic revenue mobilization is the issue of the informal sector. Now, Andrew, when I talk about the informal sector and where we've been in other discussions, individuals usually think when you talk about the informal sector, you're referring to poor people. Okay,
Tuntembas.
Yes, that's usually the first thing that comes to people's minds when you
right.
talk about the informal sector. But when we talk about the informal sector, we're basically referring, Andrew, to a sector or activities that go uncaptured. I'll
right.
give you a good example. We have situations where people are selling cars. I order a car, I bring it in for about 30,000.
Right.
I sell it at a markup of about maybe 60,000, 50,000.
Right.
That is 20,000 income, right? But that is a 20,000 income that goes
and that
not
is
captured anywhere. That is an informal sector.
Exactly.
So for our informal sector, we're basically looking at all sectors where transactions are happening,
mm-hmm.
not Tuntembas, because when you look at Tuntembas, they have a turnover tax, which is about 3%. So they are covered within those taxes.
Right.
But we're looking at huge amounts. People do slight jobs. I'll come and hire you. We work on a small proposal.
Mm-hmm.
That is income that will go unrecorded.
Right.
So all that falls within the category
mm-hmm.
of the informal tax.
Mm-hmm.
But getting into the informal tax, one of the issues that the Revenue Authority has been facing is that it's difficult. I mean, these transactions are going on all over the country, and they are very difficult to track, very difficult to place. So one of the strategies also has been the appointment of revenue collecting agencies.
Right.
We've seen it with quite a number of organizations like yourselves, ZNBC, you use them to collect revenues. You employ agents that work, of course, on a basis of commission.
Right.
That also needs to be done within the domestic sectors. That is the Revenue Authority actually employing agents that will help reach these far to reach areas, of course, the informal sectors, and of course work on some commission. I think these strategies fully implemented will go a long way in actually trying to improve our domestic resource mobilization as a country.
Right. In the studio of Ms. Selawali, who's a researcher with PMRC, that is the Policy Monitoring and Research Center in Kabalonga, live in the studio on Radio 4. And as we come to the close of this year, what is coming up as PMRC in terms of sensitizing, educating, and spreading the good word, so to speak? Forgive the pun.
Okay, no, not a problem. We're coming towards the end of the year. We have quite a number of events that we have lined up. One of the events that we have lined up as we close our year, because we only have about 3 months left to the year, one of the events that we have up is we have a media workshop that will be coming up for Southern Province. I'm not sure if you've heard of our media workshops. We usually partner with the media. These are both mainstream media, but we also work with community radio stations. What right. we do is we bring in mentors that try to help improve and build capacity of our media partners.
Okay.
As a research organization, the media are a key partner for
obviously.
Us.
Yes.
These are important in taking out the message. They're also important in bringing us stories, bringing us information, mm-hmm. and basically ensuring that there's information sharing within the general public. So these are events that we've had. We usually have them on the in Lusaka province.
Mm-hmm.
We had one recently on the Copper Belt.
Okay.
And we'll also be moving to Southern province to gather media practitioners there mm-hmm. and try to help build their capacity, because they are important partners for us in helping, take information, of course, which is what basically we're interested in as an organization. We also have an international public lecture that will be happening towards the end of the year. We'll be bringing in an international public speaker to basically speak to the general public, of course, speaking within issues of our thematic areas. We have four thematic areas as an organization.
Okay.
We look at economic development, we look at governance, we're also interested in issues of social protection, and we're also interested in issues of natural resources and environment. And to close up the year, we'll have an infrastructure symposium. We're basically trying to look at the impact of Chinese investment in the infrastructure sector.
Okay.
And we'll also be trying to get our own local investors, because we do have quite a number of construction companies.
As we said, the encouragement of local.
We have companies that are working within the construction sector or the infrastructure sector.
Right.
And we're trying to bring these two
together
and try to discuss what are the issues, mm-hmm. what are the way forwards, how can we work improving on transfer skills, transfer technological transfer. So we'll be having this symposium, which will be quite big, and of course we will be updating you as time goes by on some of the events that we'll be having towards the end of the year. But these will be the main highlights as we close up our year 2017.
Great. It's been a pleasure, Miselo. That was Miselo Walia, a researcher with PMRC, the Policy Monitoring and Research Center. As always, on Radio 4, edutainment is the key.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
In closing, I mean, your last remarks, contact points?
Our offices are located in Kabulonga, 36C Sable Road. We also have an active media presence, social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
We're active on Facebook. People can reach us. It's PMRC Zambia. You can search for us on Twitter and on LinkedIn. And you can also interact with us. Like I mentioned, our website is www.pmrczambia.com. We have quite a number of information. We have infographics. We try to simplify general information. We have our research materials that are also there. So the general public are encouraged to visit. These materials are free. The general public are also encouraged. You can pass through our offices and get some of these physical copies, meet with some of our researchers, discuss various developmental issues going on across the country. So our doors basically are open, and we look forward to continue interacting with you, our media partners, and of course, the general public.
Thank you very much, Mr. Walia.